Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Such unusual things have been happening to me, you know. You'd think after 40 years preaching, I went full time in May. I was in Oregon and hadn't preached anything. I talked to people, and if it was a small group, I was okay to talk if they interacted. But put a mic in my hand and everybody be quiet, it scared me. Some of you think I'm overhealed, you know. When something turns up unusual after that long, and it's unusual. So this 40 years ago before, I mean that first year and those months that I was praying, he just like he gave me the glimpse to walk off my job with three little kids and wasn't able to preach. I saw this freeway section, 75. I saw the round building, ORU. I saw the round building, and but the funny thing was, I saw cars lined up trying to get off the freeway system that is almost like now. I mean, it looked heavier than when we moved here. So way back then, I was looking into the future or something. The cars were backed up trying to get off. Where people were even standing in fields. And it just, that's what I saw. I couldn't imagine something that magnitude. I couldn't imagine nothing, hardly. Well, then I moved from the place I went full time, which is a $50 a month apartment, kind of with two rooms. And I got a house. I bought a house in Oak Ridge for $100 down. $100 a month. And then when I left there, I moved to Medford, which is close to the California border. Medford, Oregon. And then from Medford, Oregon, because of a camp meeting I put on, then I knew one day I'd end up in Tulsa. Because of what I saw, and the time came. I preached here and there. I preached in the healing school. And I can remember one time the Lord told me to do it, but I did it, but I hadn't did it since. But when I did it worked. There was a long line of people all the way across the front for prayer. And he told me to pray for them and go like this. I haven't done it since. I went. And the whole line went down under the power. Just fell over on the ground. I went, whoa, what was that? What was that? Well, I didn't know my place or where I was or what I was doing hardly. I was being honored by it, really. Those days I got an office on Memorial. And Tim was setting an office up because he was a counselor to ministries. He could show you what to do to begin to reach out with your ministry. And I don't know if you know it, but he's managed some pretty good-sized ministries before. Well, he had an office set up to help ministries. So he came up and I got acquainted with him somewhat. And he started telling me what I needed to do, and I did it. Letters I had to write. And pretty soon Tim just became family, you know, he came aboard. So it didn't take very long after that that I knew that my vision, the one I saw, mine, wouldn't fit in the other place I was in. This wasn't fit, that wasn't there. What he wanted was the signs and wonders. God. We can harvest a great harvest with the greatest teachers in the world because people will come in and sometimes some things happen that are good. But not too many things happens like when they hauled him in to see the apostles after the day of Pentecost. They were ministering through the crowds and they hauled the sick in from all their roundabout territories. Anybody brought them in and they were healed, every one. And you could say it's because maybe he imparted something special to the apostles, maybe, and things like that. But I got some news. We all have different calls, but he doesn't have any favorites. What do you give one man who has that call, like the calls for healings or miracles or evangelism or apostle or prophet? He'll give them as much of himself in that gift as they'll take. And I know that. And I know persuasion will only bring a certain size harvest. You can persuade and persuade and and if you're persuading towards God, then you're going to make the devil mad. And when he persuades, he does a good job in trying to do anything he can to multiply his crowd. If I walked up with a halo, would you listen to me? And then somebody took a picture and it was really there. You could do like that under it and it's still suspended up above my head. You'd think you had magnets. You could check for magnets. I mean, would you listen? You'd think you would. Halo, you know, an angel, you know. But Branham had one. They got a picture of it. See, that's not all he had. But I know when the devil exalted his throne, he said, I will above the stars of God be like the Most High. I knew he was drunk on himself. I mean, drunk on himself. When the guy gets to where I'm different from you just by calling. Oh, no, no. Not just by my calling. I'm different from you. Because I'm special. It won't be long. You'll be hearing the wrong voice and thinking it's the right one. Well, we're not going to go there. And Those kind of miracles will jam freeways. If I've got a deaf and dumb son that's never been able to walk really, and maybe like the girl they did the movie on that never saw, heard, felt, she had no contact with the outside of herself except feeling. And when she discovered there was some way to kind of communicate or something, just in her condition, it even changed her world. You want to fill the freeways? Just turn God loose. Just turn Him loose. Well, you know, it's not really your job to go in there and pave that territory and find out how to do that. If you got a pastor that hoes corn or works or something like that and to preach to you, you should go fire him from his job and tell him, hey, we'll give you some offerings. You stay in the closet and teach us. Yes. So along the way, it's been the great times, and then there's been the trying times. And the trying times would pull you this far, and the great times would exalt you way up here, and then it'd pull down, pulling times, you're down here. And then up and down times, and finally you get so happy with yourself when you level your emotions out and bring them under subjection, and it's due, but you don't have any money, and you're waiting for the doorbell, the mail to get there, or somebody to walk by, whatever. But the thing is, it starts happening. If that's your call, and you're doing it, and when you're ready to go, die for Him right then. No.
Somebody, would you go where you could die?
It wouldn't even be a question if you asked me. That wouldn't even be a question. Well, you know, we've had our ups and down times and good times, and every time you could endure through them, through the glorious times when we were packed out and people were parked up the lane and ready to park on the road along the road to get in here, and then. Then you walk in, there's 30 people sitting there. What in the world is this variance about? Yes, so we saw these down times and we saw the up times. And there's a prophecy. How many's ever read the prophecy on the wall out there? If somebody hasn't, I'm going to go get it and have a reader get up here. You want it? You want to read it? Or you want us to read that to you? Who hasn't read it? But you'll see a key word in it. Tell me the key word. Why in the world would you say something like that for a 50-yard dash? That's a marathon, isn't it? I wanted a 50-yard dash. I didn't want 40 years. However, I've only been here 30 of them. And in the church, 25 of them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Who's a good reader? Alan.
From the first meeting in the prayer center, March 2, 1989. When you've done all you know to stand, stand therefore, saith the Spirit of grace. For truly I desire by my power to shake this place. For taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. And again I would say, when you've done all you know to do, stand therefore. The key word shall be endurance, saith the Spirit of grace. For I will teach you by my power and by my Spirit how to keep building in power until your endurance will produce my desired will in this place. For I will train you, saith the Spirit of grace, about the snares and the traps of the enemy. For if you will pray and make it past those hard places, I'll give you divine wisdom and understanding that will at last produce power that you can say is of me. For my miracles do I desire to pour out of you. I desire to shake this city and train many people before the first phase of what I want to do is through. So gird yourself up and be strong on my behalf, for I will show you some things by my Spirit that you can have for an eternity. They will last. So I am giving you equipment that will work a great reward. For many of you are hungry and have desire to see these things, and I will lead you into that kind of reward. So be brave and stand strong, saith the Spirit of grace. I will work mightily, mighty miracles before this is done. You will not lose your place, for your reward shall be exceedingly great. So heed what the Spirit would say, for something new I begin this day. Great peace is my desire for you, that you may fellowship with me in love, and I can filter through and through your life. I desire to take you from where you are to a place with me, a place you have known about way down deep in your spirit, that from the foundation of the world I have prepared for you. So as I lead you from place to place, I desire to flow through you with grace. And if you will edify and edify and edify yourself, you will see before this is through, I'll purge from you everything that is causing you to fail. You'll not only taste the victory that changing circumstances can bring, but you'll taste the victory of the resounding peace inside you that will dominate everything in the circumference around you. Oh, for edification, edification, edification. Higher, higher, higher in me, that you will complete the first foundation of your life, that I may be able to move you into intercession, that you can cause those that are bound to be set free. For Satan is furious, saith the Spirit of grace. He already is mad, and as a whirlwind is stirring up the demons against this place. But stand fast and edify yourself into the place with me. When the storm comes, you will be delivered. Oh, that you will be able to deliver the power that is of me. So be glad for the wellsprings of life and the counsel in the heart of man. I will draw it out, for there are many matters of wisdom that I desire for you to understand. I'll teach you to walk in power. For, my children, the thing between what I desire and what is now taking place is being poured or purged every hour. Many people come to the city for training, you see, and oh, I desire to give them full training that they may leave in my power. So for all of you who said, I hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be full. For I'll bring you into a place with me. Yes, for I'll bring you into a place with me.
Key word was what? Of course, you haven't endured. You haven't endured anything, have you? No. So, when he talked about the love in that prophecy, then, in this stage of where we're at, then I thought I knew about his love. I just thought maybe I was void in my understanding somewhat because of the way I was raised, this and that. So the first time it came, I thought it was the greatest thing. It was a result of that trip I took to the Passion Play in Oklahoma City and come back. An edification placed private worship in its proper place. So I went ahead and broke into private worship, and the devil fought that about as hard as he fought anything else. He did not want me to discover even what just a portion of it would do, much less. He said, if a man keeps my word, he says, if love is glorified, it's amplified in him. It comes to a fullness in him. Well, just what he did back then, I just couldn't even talk to people, even through a language barrier, without them breaking down and weeping and crying. And that's when I first found out about different anointings, that the love of God actually being poured out in a certain volume will cause a tangible presence of compassion to fill space up. And that's what Jesus was moved by when he left no one out. When they talk about maimed, blind, you know, maimed can be missing parts of your body, chunks taken out, mate. I mean, you're not all there. You're mauled. You put arms on, legs on, fingers on. That's happened in history. At times when men would visit that place. Well, I preached before because I knew this much. I knew this much. So I could preach about the love that I knew. In Brazil, language barriers didn't make any difference. Made no difference whatsoever. A bunch of people was crying between the chairs. And I called a line up and the line went up. We started losing them to weeping and bawling before we could get to them. And then when I lost my translator, I thought it was over. See, well then, you know, then he gave me another key to another door. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. And so that door became a primary. You know, I don't know how many years, like to tell you how much I fasted or how long or anything like that. But Gary is he's a scholar of the word, you know, and I wore him out every eating holiday, like Christmas season. There I go again. Open up.
Why couldn't we cast that devil out?
Because of your unbelief. Later, privately, they ask him, you know, that question. He wouldn't want them to yell over the head of the crowd, you know, because of your unbelief. They ask him privately. He said, I'll tell you why. It's your unbelief. But this kind cometh not but by praying and, ooh, did we go into fasting? Sometimes I was down to around 155. I almost managed to crawl back, though. I learned even eating habits from it. But like things like when you starve yourself, you know, go on a diet, starve yourself. Your body panics and thinks you're starving to death. So you can just look at a celery stick and it'll store it for you. It thinks you're starving, so it wants to get you ready for hibernation. So it thinks you're starving, so it speeds your slows your metabolism down and wants to save everything you're eating for your the survival. The hypothalamus does that. It regulates your body, glands. So I had to learn how to break fasting, because not only would I gain the 40 pounds I lost, I'd make another 20 on top of that. So I had to learn to trick my body. You know, back, you don't eat much, but you eat enough to keep sugar in your blood so that it more smaller portions, so it thinks you've got plenty and it won't turn your fat stat way down. But you can just look at a celery stick and it'll store it somewhere on you. So I had to learn things like that with the fasting keys. And I did. And so I wasn't taking this thing not serious. I just want to tell you how close we're getting to something. And the devil's putting up, and I'm not going to tell you anything about what he's doing per se this round. But myself, I've never seen anything or never had such a war. Never had such a thing loosed on me that was loosed on me. And what I did notice in the middle of it, what he said about love was true. It does not have any fear. Has feeling. No fear. So we managed that. And all of this was heading towards something. And I mentioned it. It was heading towards getting the foundation under me to where he could give me enough love that all of a sudden I'd pass out from the thought of hell. Oh no. Oh no. No, not the God I know. Oh no. He couldn't do that. There's got to be error in the Bible. They got a wrong letter or something. No. I didn't ask to be born. Adam's the one that did that. It wasn't my fault. Why are you holding it against me? I know what. The second Adam. Okay, the first one caused our fall. And we got our sin nature, and the second one came and took our place. Oh, they got some wrong letters again. There's error. I'm automatically saved because I was automatically lost. Yeah, I didn't ask to be born. Boy, am I glad I got a dose of the love. Yeah, without a foundation. Boy, I wanted to hang on to it, you know. Don't go. It felt good. Don't go. I want to cry. Don't go. Hey, and we've seen them go all-inclusive. An eternal security. An eternal security is, you're hearing this on TV a lot now. How much money would me pay me to tell you you're okay? Just go ahead and sin and everything, because Jesus died on the cross. Every sin you could ever commit has already been taken care of. Every sin you ever committed in the past is already taken care of, or will commit is already taken care of. So you just have yourself a good time. You know Jesus. Well, you know. So eternal security, you know. Ah. Did you get born again? I did. If you know, all you had to do is just run up to Hitler, right in the middle of his murder spree, and dictatorship, and get him born again, and then tell him, go ahead, you're saved now. Finish your job. No? That's what they're saying. I mean, of course I exaggerated it a little.
God wouldn't save Hitler.
Oh, he wouldn't? Gee, what happened to one died? And we're all alive because one lived. I mean, who'd he leave out? Mass murderers who axe people. Who'd he leave out? You know, we're going along with these great theological exposés taking over the airways and stuff and convincing a lot of people. Yeah. If you could give me peace, God, I'd pay you to tell me I'm okay. You know, give me peace. But we're watching those take this over, you know. And where is what the Bible said? You know. Where is that teaching on love where I'd give my whole self a sacrifice? I don't care. Where are the miracles? They mentioned them more in the apostles and Jesus' life than anything. Where are they? Oh no, those are just a little side trail. You're okay as the main one. Well, I don't care if the devil has overplayed his hand. The more sick people he tries to wrestle up in these last days, then the more testimonies we'll have. Are you going to stop? No. You going to back up? No. You going to quit? No. You going to see it in your lifetime? Yes. Are you going to endure? It said I was. It wasn't exactly hope, he said. But it was. He lives in anticipation of the time that he'll get to pour himself out in all that he is. For I seek these times of salvations and signs and wonders and desire them even more than you. For why did I do the things I did through the generations and the centuries and the millennials if all of this wasn't available that I'm offering you now? Did I die that people would not be saved? No, I died for not only you to be equipped, for not only you to receive the Holy Spirit, I died that I could have myself a people that would believe in me, that would help me harvest the rest. For there's mansions waiting for you that you have no thought of what they really are. That you'll see when this is over, for many will say, with no regret, but with regret, I wished I would have known then. It's not being held back from you. I hold no good thing back in its timing. For these things I desire, and some of you are getting closer. For you that really belong to me, every part of you, all of you that love me, I see you there. I love you. But I do have my gladiators, and they will face the devil down, and you'll see great, great incomings of the peoples. So rejoice and be glad. These things will happen partly in your days. Oh, so get us, get That means everybody living here. Everybody in here.
Well, I'm 95.
Well, they say, hey, you'll probably get to see some of it. I think that's what he said. For I delight in these times when my mind is spoken to you, not only by revelation, not only by teaching, but by mysteries, by interpretation, any way that I get to communicate with you on a close level, for my mind is active at that time. For there's things that I desire and things I desire to address. Si cui pahilifi ton descarado. For I want you to be encouraged and take everything in with great hope. For you're walking with me, your hope will be put to substance, and you'll get to see some of these glorious things as we draw closer and closer to the times that are coming. Do you not get all the word that you need in this place? Is not the teaching that goes on feeding you? I desire to move on all fronts. I'd like you to hear my mind for that moment. I'd like you to know what I'm thinking and how I'm moving in directions. For because of these things, all my ministries who speak my word in teaching in its season, and those that interpret and prophesy, these things will become more common as soon as they become more true. For I say that to say this, I say true. For so many have been led down the false trail of error through those claiming to have giftings that they did not have. Hello. Bien noche. Jato colato. Nena. Nena. So let her fall back lesso. Jacques de ma. Jana Saji. I said all that to say this, that another round of love is positioning itself. And in this round, you'll see a fullness that people dream about seeing. So stay steady, stay faithful, and know that when I up this Annie's, that the devil ups his. But you know he comes. Persecution and affliction and cares of this life and the deceit of riches and the lust for other things. And those lusts for other things is the exaltations and Iboalasi, fame, glory, Giwoma, Sotakirisia, Deske, that you'll see. my love becomes tangible, so tangible that you'll begin to feel the differences in your heart. Change will take place that'll be glorious, for this is a time that you've been waiting for. This is a time that a portion of your edification has prayed out and bringing into existence, saith the Lord. Well, there's no use me preaching now. I can preach in the now and past, but I can speculate the future, but not like he does. Yes, Jude. Oh, no, no. I like people will say, well, he knew me from my mother's womb. Yeah, he did. He did. Well, yeah, so he chose me for a great ministry. That's why, I'm up here preaching. Oh, does he choose the ones that go to hell too? They may have a call from the womb, but they're not automatically guaranteed salvation from the womb over the respect of any other person.
Well, I was destined to be born again.
You mean in a way to where it's God's unchangeable plan and there's nothing he can do about it? You're going to be born again no matter what he decreed it. No. No, then we could go back to a lot of people that died in the dark ages that was in darkness and hold respect of persons against him. No. No. Revival is our choice. And we're going to give it to him. It's our choice. Did you have scriptures laid out? Oh yeah, you'd have loved them. Then it made you feel real good about yourself. Yeah, ma. Shall not my eyes keep. Jeta shuarome. Eskisi. For some of you haven't received because you've not been able to bring yourself to look past that place. What have you been taught? What is it that you don't know? Is not faith already the substance of the thing you're hoping for? And all the evidence you really will ever need of that thing you can't see. For many of you, don't get past emotional issues, this kind of changing and that kind of changing. Because you can't see the grace that I have for you, and I gladly died and will trade that off for your weaknesses. So practice strength. Practice strength, not weakness. Run towards the problem, not away. Be strong. Be a weightlifter of truth. For you'll know the truth, and it'll set you free. Whew. Boy, what was that all about? Did we get a little whipping or something? He made us responsible for ourselves. What kind of insult is that? He's going, Shabaske. Shabaske. Oh, no. I just got insulted. He said, not only did I put you in the line for them, but I put you in the line for you so I could say enough through you to be able to make you understand what you just interpreted. I thought I understood that already. But he's right. I haven't been working it like that. Crucify your worry. Crucify your fear. You stay on that path of love. Why don't you go on the journey with me? You'll get free and powerful. You know the worst thing you could do to somebody to defeat them? No matter how hard they tried to come over to your area, is love them with His love. That's the worst thing you could do to them if they wanted to stay there where they're at. If Jesus was moved by compassion, what makes you think you have less faith when you love someone more? I got a lot to say, but it'll have to come out in the teachings on the love of God. There's very interesting calls on many of you. Most churches, most of them are not fulfilled because they don't go far enough for the equipping. It's not going to happen here. It may be a fight, the rest of it. It isn't that we haven't had them before, but don't throw yourself down and walk away from it. Paul got to write so much of the Bible. Tell me he didn't have a fight. Tell me. Will there be a fight? Yes, there will. But I'll be talking about it for billions of years. What are you going to be doing? Does He love you? Yes. Are you pampered in heaven anyway? Yes. You're loved. And can I say this? I got to step into the atmosphere of heaven one time, and it was during the last time His love visited me for a certain amount, and it had to stop. I was there soaking in the atmosphere. I could feel it like you can. Peace, joy, love. Here. But you know what? When somebody would come up to you, and it was just very short, no longer than that other minute I had with you. Did you know I didn't know what they did in their life, what century they lived in? I didn't know what they did. I just know they walked up and stood there for a minute and didn't even say nothing, basically. Did you know that I could automatically tell? I knew somehow. I don't know if this is part of the reward. You know when a captain puts their bars on? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They're dressed that way, so you know them. You salute. You have to. That's what you could do. You knew so much because of the presence that was honoring them, that lived with them, like They had a general suit on, high ranking. You salute and you watch them. People knew. They knew. I could say a little more. I'll teach a half a chapter on it. You get a measure of faith for your call, not somebody else's. They argued and argued, what's the measure of faith? It's the one he measured out when he separated you to your call. Paul says, I speak according to the grace given to me, that you ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought, because I'm an apostle, I'm this and I'm that, but that's his grace. I didn't make myself that, he did. You ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Think soberly according to God's dealt to every man the measure. What measure? What does that measure up? Measure faith that goes with your call. You measured the measure that went with Paul's. In other words, when you stand before him, you can't say, I didn't have the faith issued to me for the call that you gave me. You can't say that. But if it was for an entrepreneur, the foot doesn't do what the hand does. Neither does the eye. The mouth. Gee. It just tells the story. Who does the work? What do you think you're creating that power? Everything that's done there is done. Because he came and was able to do it using your call. Well, I don't care if I cleaned the church. I don't care if I was helps ministry that kept everything straight and operating around here. I would not throw my prayer life away. Because I know in that great day, I know where I'll be. Maybe I wasn't willing to die or anything like that. But maybe I was. Somebody has to be helped. Somebody has to be government. Since all of the calls are by grace and empowered by grace, he doesn't measure it. He measures it by what he asks you to do and you carrying it out. You think you fulfilled it? You snuck to church and cleansed it and prayed a little bit and then went home? We're talking about a lost generation living all around you. So they salute you. Said, sir, can I ask you what you did? Oh yeah, you can. I lived on the street and kept a big church up and watched out for it and government and had to do all the things that was done. See all these people in the neighborhood. Something he called me to do on that level affected them. Oh, a lot of them got saved. I went into their house and proved that the preacher just wasn't after money. Got their sick out. People know. It's like saluting a general. Well, I went to church every Sunday. Go sit down and watch the show. So what? However, there's no difference in the love. He loves every one of you the same. No different in the love. You will be loved, treated gloriously. You go with us into revival. Mess this city up. And mess other cities up. General. Hey. Generals are over stockyards. They don't always run ships. Come on. General. Sir, what did you do? I devastated my neighborhood. Will I carry this through? It's rare. But the people that made it into that love did. And we're just at the door. You remember how many times the devil threatened me? I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. It failed. He can do anything he thinks he can do. I mean, he can try to do anything he thinks he can do. I'm not going. Come on. Come on. You have your measure. You have your call. Go get them.